can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
No need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's 8:30 in the morning, and I am fucking blasted out of my mind. Welcome to Trump's America. That's right. I'm not just medicinally marijuana high. I am fucking high. And I've also had several cups of coffee. So really, it's kind of like a wash, I guess, when you think about it. I also had a banana, so hey, there you go. I had my first nightmare last night about being loaded onto a train. So there's that. But that's not actually what I intended to talk about this morning. I'd actually been taking a little, I'm like the queen of index cards, motherfuckers. I'd been taking notes like each day of the week of like stuff I wanted to talk about for my next episode and stuff. And had like a set idea and was ready to do that thing. And then Mary Tyler Moore died. Yeah. And in case you don't know, you know that the Joan Jett song that I'm using at the beginning of the podcast is, of course, the theme song from her show. And I actually might retire it as the theme song for my show. I don't know. I haven't quite figured that out yet. But I warn you, I could get a little verklempt while I talk this morning. God damn, Trump's America. This is, people, it's fucking, I need to save that for like the other episode because that kind of has more to do with that. Let's get back to Mary. Oh, but before I do that, shout out to the Mighty Cerex. Following me on Twitter. That's right. I see you in my little romper room mirror. That filled my little heart with joy. I am somebody. So there you go. And for those of you that don't know, I am at Rose Standalone on Twitter. And I posted a short little video of my very ladylike bedroom. And one of the things that I posted in that's in the video is this vintage painting of what looks like kindergarten flight attendants. And I brought those little ladies home with me back in 2006. Actually, when my now ex-husband and I first moved into our rental house together, I bought that as one of the things that I was super excited to hang in the hallway because I just thought it was super adorable. And he, who normally likes kitschy things like that and all that, was like very poo-poo about it, and which was just the start of a whole lot of poo-poo. And we'll skip that. But they're super adorable little girls. One's a brunette and one's a blonde. And they have been unnamed for, almost these last 11 years now. And I have named them. The brunette, of course, is Mary. And the blonde is Joan for Joan Rivers. Because when I think about it, not when you think about it, because I know you haven't really found yourself thinking about my childhood as much as I would have expected you to. What's wrong with you? Anyway, I'm really glad that I grew up in the era that I grew up in some ways. In that there were TV shows where, like, women could be single, and the entire TV show didn't revolve around the fact that they were single and dating. Like, even Scandal, motherfuckers, like, she can't fucking have a life without him. It's just, anyway. So when I was a young girl, Mary Tyler Moore and Joan Rivers were big influence on me in terms of like pop culture as a kid that spent a lot of time in front of the TV set. And of course, growing up in the 70s, it was like I mean, that's when the shows were on the air, plus all the variety shows and all of that. And it's like, God damn, I'm so glad that that imprinted me as a child versus like kids who were fucking imprinted by the Kardashians and Trump and just, oh, I'm digressing again. And so Mary was like, she was like my first fashion hero, like which I think I've mentioned before, but like, capris forever, motherfucker. God damn it. I wear them in the wintertime with super cute leggings under, like peeking out underneath, and then like a different pair of socks of the same colors, but a different print, like all very matchy match. That's the other thing I loved about her fashion. It was very matchy match. I am very matchy match. How many times can I say very matchy match? I did mention that I was blasted. Thank you. But that's the thing, like I like my colors will all match, but the patterns will be all different. Or like as one friend pointed out, she'll notice that I'm wearing a lot of squares one day, and I don't even notice that that's the only pattern I've somehow latched onto from head to toe. When I would like, you know, like when you're a little kid, like you draw, and like sometimes you draw girls that you wish you look like, and I was always drawing Mary Tyler Moore with the big giant keen eyes. But it's like she, and I think the other thing was like in the 70s, it was like such the Breck California blonde girl look that was like, fuck yeah, she's a brunette with brown hair. Like she's got baby shit colored hair and baby shit colored eyes just like I do. You can't even tell, but I'm like shaking my fist in the air with solidarity. Oh, good morning. So yeah, on the Dick Van Dyke Show, I mean, of course, the vintage dresses, but the capris, but the fact that she was wearing all black, like that made, like that's where I was, why I was into wearing all black before punk rock. Anyway, who cares? I care. We're sharing. And God damn it, she was married to a comedy writer. Like, how awesome did her life seem? Like, I didn't want the kid part of it. It's like, I wanted to be her best friend in the Dick Van Dyke days when I was a little kid. It's like, I want to be their pal. I want to hang out with all these people that are just laughing all the time. And everybody's, like, kind to each other. And they look so swank, but they're also kind of dorky. Like, nobody's, I mean, she was perfect looking, but nobody else in the cast was perfect looking. And it's just, oh, and you know, like everybody always talks about how they wish they'd had Florence Henderson as their mom. Like she was like America's TV mom. Not me. I wanted Mary, but I didn't want the Mary of the Dick Van Dyke years as my mom. I wanted the single version of Mary in the Mary Tyler Moore Show, because the thing was, by the time that show was on, my mom was widowed and she was dating a string of horrible, horrible men, and she had horrible, horrible friends. But I'll get back to that in a minute. First of all, oh, hello, Millie. That's second of all, Mary Tyler Moore, like she had that badass sunken living room, which seemed so glamorous. Like, oh my God, I can sit on steps and be surrounded by books and suddenly have my bed pull out. Like what more do you need in life? Except she should have had it all floral. Like, let's just get that out of the way. Until I went to a place with a sunken living room. I had a friend back in the early 2000s here in Portland, and his apartment had one of those sunken living rooms. It also had action figures still in their original packaging tacked up on the walls, if that tells you what kind of person he is, which explains why we're no longer friends, because I live and grow. But he had the sunken living room, and it's really disorienting, especially when you don't expect it. I mean, not that I fell, but it's just like, ooh, this... To walk from one side of the room to the other, like, this is a fucking pain in the ass. And he's like, yeah, like, it's cool for about a day. Anyway, that's Dan, not Mary. And her life was just so fun as a single person. She had a full life with friends. She had a full life on the job. And she did date. And And she just, like, she was her own boss. Plus, as a little kid, like, I knew she was her own boss because, like, you saw the, you know, MTM production and the little meow kitty. Oh, little meow kitty. And that's also why I'm convinced I never let my Barbies marry. Like, when I played Barbies as a kid, I never let them get married. It's like, no, you can, like, hump all, you can dry hump that plastic cod all you want. Plastic cod? Sure, why not? I had fish and chips yesterday. blasted. But I wouldn't let Barbie marry because it's like, why ruin your life? Look how awesome Mary Tyler Moore's life is. Don't do what Edith Bunker's doing. That's awful. You want the Mary Tyler Moore life, motherfuckers. And like I said, that's the version of Mary that I wished had been my TV mom. Because at the time, my mom was widowed and dating and bringing home a string of losers. And yeah, that started for me when I was 8 years old. And prior to her date, well, she was engaged within 6 months of my dad dying. And most of that 6 months, she was withdrawn in her room on Valium, and then she hooked this guy, and then it blew up in her face. And so that's what I went through within the span of 6 months of my dad dying as a kid. That's awesome. So you end up, like, when you're really young like that, we're going to get all psychotherapy here, right? Why not? Blasted. So sort of really early age, it's like I learned to just do backflips and like gaslighting is a thing. Narcissism is a thing. It's called my mom. I had to learn to do backflips to, like, do whatever she needed at any given point to keep her calm, as well as be pleasing, and you can take that any way you want, to the string of gross dudes that she brought home that, oh, maybe that'll be my new daddy. And that's like that's a lot to process at 8 and a half, 9 years old. That's a lot to process. And Mary wasn't bringing home losers. Like, she, you know, like, she didn't take... I mean, there were, like, sometimes, like, haha, funny, like, joke loser guys, but she was smart enough to see it and dealt with it and got rid of them. Ta-da! Awesome. And she also had, like, super cool friends, like Rhoda. Like, ugh, Rhoda. Oh, I mean, obviously, I'm way more of a Rhoda than a Mary. I know that. You know, and even, you know, Lou Grant and even Phyllis, you know, like, Phyllis was kind of cunty, but they still, like, you know, Mary called her on her shit. Like, that's kind of the cool thing about Mary. It's like, she was always kind and generous and thoughtful and sweet, but she did not take shit. Anyway, whereas my mom's two best friends, I've forgotten the name of one of them. She was just like an alcoholic spinster who I think was way deep in the closet. And she had a long time relationship with a permanent bachelor, aka somebody else also way in the closet. And so, you know, the best way to deal with that is just be like drunk 24/7. So that was one of my mom's best friends. And then her other best friend, Sandy, is somebody who literally went to those key parties in the 70s, like the swingers parties. Yeah, she did that when she was still married. And her son died of an epileptic seizure while she was out on a date. So yeah, that was my mom's other best friend. And I thought that was normal. Except for the fact that Mary didn't have that shit in her life. Her life... Here's a big difference. I'm really going, ooh, we're getting personal here. Mary would never say to somebody, well, they don't have to live with you. What I mean is, when I started realizing that other people didn't treat me like shit, I guess. I've had a few pockets of times where I've had like good people in my life. Like when I was in high school, I had like a healthy group of nerd friends who were kind to me, and their parents were kind to me. My friends' parents always loved me because I was like, I have good fucking manners. I didn't cuss, for one thing. And when I was like, when you're a kid and like you play, I always cleaned up the toys afterwards and stuff. And everybody outside of my home was always really nice to me, and my mom wasn't. And then finally, like, I guess when I was in high school, when we were arguing, I mentioned that, and she said, well, they don't have to live with you. And I brought that up again in my 20s when I was moved back home after she was in the psych ward. And so I kind of moved back home to take care of her and go to community college. Same thing. I was being like respected. Oh my God, this is getting so personal. I'm going to shut up now. Mary never would have said, well, they don't have to live with you. And who wouldn't want that as a mom? All right, I'm going to keep plowing through this. The other thing that I should mention about the Mary Tyler Moore Show is I binged watched the entire series during my first year alone after I left my marriage of 7 years. 7 years of being miserably frozen in amber, completely dependent on somebody who treated me like shit. And I left it and moved all the way back cross country and left my cat behind that died this year and blah, blah, blah. And suddenly was just like completely thrust out in the world, truly, truly alone. 'Cause I have no family. I think you can tell why. And so I just like, that was so comforting to me that it's like I knew I didn't have her spunk. Thank you very much. We'll get to that in a second. Of course, you always have to get to spunk sooner or later. It was a very comforting pacifier to me. It was a repetitive series where nothing truly awful happened and things were resolved, and it was fucking Mary. And the thing is, it's like not all the episodes were available on Hulu. So I actually would have to go to the library to pick them up on DVD. And because I would actually put them on hold in the library, I was serious about this shit, motherfuckers. And sometimes those trips to the library was like the only time I'd leave my apartment all fucking week. I would be able to like make myself walk the 6 blocks to the bus stop, stand at the bus stop, catch the bus, get off, go in, get my DVDs, cross the street for the bus stop back home, and then walk another 6 blocks home, and that would be it for the week. And then it's just me and Mary and Millie, my cat. The other thing is, it's like I had to be reminded. I had to be reminded that I was going to make it after all. Oh, I'm going to get verklempty. Have I mentioned Donald Trump is president? And it's kind of scary. Have I also mentioned I don't get to have therapy anymore thanks to Medicare? So yeah, tough times, people. Tough times. And the thing is, sorry about that pause. So the thing is, back then, that during that first year where it was just fucking crisis mode constantly, just the worst I've ever been in my life. Sometimes just making it after all just meant getting through another day, despite the weird side effects that meds were giving me, the self-harm, everything awful, just the fact that I was getting through another day, that was a way of making it, which I know sounds sad and tiny, but you know what's even sadder and tinier is not making it and not trying to continually do better and continually make it better And I kept slowly evolving and improving, and it was real herky jerky. You know, it's as Paul Mooney says in his book, it's you've got to take three steps forward because the man's going to take two steps back from you. There's that as well. But still continually trying, still continually throwing your goddamn hat in the fucking air. And here's a couple of weird things that I know that I improved on. Who cares? I care. We'll share. I finally stopped having to count to 10 before unplugging the coffee pot or my phone chargers and stuff. Originally, when that whole little counting thing started, I just counted to 3 and then to 5 and then to 10. And part of it is because the electricity here is really crappy, and I'd seen one spark, and that's enough for me to just assume the worst. And I've talked in the past about my fire phobia, I'm pretty sure. So that's when I started counting. And by the time I got to where I was counting up to 10 and was like, fuck this is a bullshit way to comfort myself because it's turned into a need instead of, you know, instead of like being helpful to me. It's like all of that took a year of like from when it started to when it stopped. But goddamn, I really fucking noticed it when it stopped. And it wasn't like I just started counting down. I just completely fucking stopped. And that's one of those things. It's like if you're self-aware enough to know that you have mental illness, which I obviously am very self-aware of because I can't fucking work and deal with leaving my apartment a lot of the time. Although, well, I can go out about every day, but after a couple of hours, I'm just like done. I mean, it's world. You're fucking hard to deal with, let me tell you. But that doesn't mean just stopping trying to make it better over and over and over again. So when I notice something like that with the counting, it's like, oh, that's something that can get way out of hand. I got to nip this shit in the bud. That's what Mary would do. And even the other thing that, oh, I just realized this other card. Oh, well, fuck that. One other thing that like I've improved upon that I'm super proud of is dealing with the bus. You've heard me complain time and time again about Neanderthals on the bus and sketchos and whatevers. And that's changed for me because of how I've changed my behavior. When I get on the bus and it's really crowded, I demand a seat. I'm not a cunt about it, but if I need a seat, I ask for a seat. And then I, rather than just standing there and fuming, unless the dude is sketchy, then I'll like kind of stand there because it's like, ugh. But that doesn't even happen most of the time because I just sit next to a lady. And rather than what I used to do is as soon as another seat emptied out, I would go snag that empty seat rather than continuing sitting next to a lady. No, I don't do that anymore. Because when you go snag an extra seat, you don't know what the fuck creepo is going to sit next to you. So I've improved my bus time, which is such a huge part of my life, just by paying attention. Like, okay, well, what makes me uncomfortable? How can I break that down? What can I do to make it better? Like, I can't eliminate creepos, but how can I avoid them? What can I do to like minimize the impact on me? I guess is the way to say. And sometimes that is making it after all, because that's the only way that you can keep moving forward. I don't know where I was going that. And now I'm really sad that I just found this card out of order. It says jail sweater teeth. It says kind, gracious, but didn't take shit. Spunk, yes, a boss said that to me at XM Satellite. Okay, sure, I'll go ahead and go on that because like I said, blasted. I don't give a shit. Here's the other thing. I should have written it down before I did this, and maybe I'll try to do it for the next episode, or who cares. But I was listening to one of Paul Mooney's appearances on Travis Smiley's show, and it was it was right after Trump was elected, but before the inauguration. as Paul Mooney said, like he's now like the freest motherfucker alive, because everything that he has been talking about in his comedy for years in terms of race and class and blah 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 blah, like it's playing out, like it's there, and it's just all the cards are on the table. So fuck it, I'm the freest motherfucker there is. I can do whatever I want. Up is down, down is up. He didn't go quite that far, but that was kind of the gist of it. And it's weird this week when I've been walking around and kind of felt a little bit uncomfortable, just feel like this sudden wave of awfulness hitting me, or in around people that make me feel tense, that just would pop in my head. It's like, no man, I'm the freest motherfucker there is. Up is down, down is up. I've lived upside down to the rest of the mainstream world in so many ways, and now that world is getting to see what anxiety and depression is like. Oh, that's not nice. That didn't come out right. That did not come out right. So anyway, the jail sweater teeth. One of the awesome episodes of Mary Tyler Moore was when she was arrested, I believe, for not giving up her resources as a reporter. And she couldn't brush her teeth, and she was talking to the prostitute in the jail cell about how her teeth felt all fuzzy, like a sweater on that, like she had a sweater on. And when I was arrested in D.C. in the protest that I talked about, I actually made that comment to somebody else, because in my head, I was making myself laugh by, like, I'm going to be Mary Tyler Moore and say, oh, my teeth feel like a sweater right now. They feel fuzzy. You know what I mean? And they just looked at me like I was a crazy pants. I already talked about the fact that she was kind and gracious but didn't take shit. And that is personally how I try to live every day. Like, I'm not kidding you with that at all. I'm going to get verklempt again talking about this beautiful woman yesterday. So I'll skip it. Ha ha! First, I have to deal with Spunk. I actually also had a boss say that to me, like half in jest. Like, he knew that I would get the reference. And this was when I was working at XM Satellite Radio, and the CEO actually said that to me, and which was funny. But, you know, then when Gore lost the election and he came to the office and said that anybody that voted for Nader, he would like to string them up and shoot them. And I had to raise my hand and say, okay, you're going to, I guess I'm first in front of the firing squad. Hey, me with the spunk. That's me and the spunk. Okay. Let me go ahead and tell you about this beautiful lady from yesterday. So the weather here has just been for shit, and yesterday was actually really nice and sunny, and still like brisk and cold, like layers. Like I was fucking rocking my black capris with my gray and black plaid leggings and my gray and plaid striped socks and my boots like a motherfucker. And my red plaid, like hunting man's kind of coat thing, and cause you gotta have a good stride. So you've got to have like a waistcoat for you know how walking is. So I was like hoofing it around, cause I wanted to go check out this one wall to see what the latest graffiti was, cause there tends to be like some interesting paste ups there. Maybe I'll put one on my Twitter feed. And so I was walking, and also in that area where there's a lot of hotels and or motels or whatever, flop houses, I guess is the best way to put it. And so this really teeny like Morgan fucking Rhoda Morgenstern's mom, just this like really tiny little black woman. And just scrawny and frail, and had her cane, and she had her hair all wrapped up in this like really sweet head wrap, and she had a plastic crucifix that I can only hope glows in the dark, because I love me some glow in the dark crucifixes. And she didn't have enough layers on for the cold temperatures, as far as I'm concerned, given how thin she is. And of course, she asked me for money, understandably. And I explained that, no, I don't have anything. I'm on disability myself and not getting by. And she, you know, she's like, oh, I know how that is. And she's like, well, you have a beautiful day. And I say, yeah, it's like the sun feels nice today. And she, you know, kept talking. And I kind of, like, I was so intent on going to see the graffiti and just having felt trapped up in my apartment that I had like that puppy dog energy of like walking uphill real fast, that I was like, no, bitch, slow your fucking roll. This old lady wants somebody to talk to. And so I slowed my roll and just walked down the street, you know, with her while she was smoking and talking about her arthritis. And we were talking about the winter, and I said the same, like, two steps back, you know, gotta make three steps forward because the mantle takes two steps back. And she's like, how do you know that as a white girl? And I'm like, I've been reading Paul Mooney's book. And it was just, it's just nice. Like, that's the nicest thing about being a free motherfucker. That's the nicest thing, or the best use that I try to make of my time on disability or not working or whatever the fuck you want to call it, being verklempt. Don't get me wrong. Being poor sucks ass. Spending 6 hours just to get food at a food bank because you have to sucks ass. Losing $120 a month of my income to pay for medical coverage that doesn't even provide therapy, which is the reason I'm on Medicare in the first place, sucks ass. But I also know exactly, as much as anybody else does, I know what I'm dealing with on any given day. Certainly, like I said, everything's up, up is down, down is up. But I don't have to answer to anybody. I don't have any goddamn boss. I don't have any goddamn loving spouse or horrible spouse or whatever kind of partner at all. I'm a fucking free agent. And so there are always going to be things that freak me out and piss me off and make me anxious and whatever, and I'll deal with them best I can when they happen. But the rest of the time, as far as I'm concerned, when I'm out in the world surrounded by people who do have people that they have to answer to, and they're trying to raise kids in this fucking nightmare of a world, and they're worried about their jobs, they're terrified of living the kind of life that I'm already living. They're so terrified of the kind of life that I'm living that it's like, well, the least I can do is be nice. Because it really is the least I can do. And there was like another kooky pants lady on the bus I had a great conversation with, but that's going to be for the other episode. But that's getting back to Mary. Jesus, I'm going to get verklempt again. All right, no verklemptness here. Oh, I'm sure I'll probably creep up. Even though I'm watching my pacifier right now, by that I mean I have Sparks videos on the TV set. Doesn't matter which ones they are. It's them. That's all that matters. Makes me so happy. Oh, it's so comforting. So I don't really have a, as usual, way to wrap this up. I have notes about Sandra's episode, but I'm going to wait and maybe, I don't know, message her or do it on the other non-Mary episode. But I guess, like, obviously, the whole idea of what making it after all has really shifted, and it's going to keep shifting because we're on fucking quicksand here. Jesus fucking Christ, there's no way around it. And I will never turn the world on with my smile because I have aggressive resting bitch face. Not just resting bitch face, I have, oh, you looking for a fight? Bitch face. which is really kind of cool. Like I enjoy that a lot. But nice is always nice. Nice is always nice. It's fucking stupid. It's fucking simple. But it is not when so many people like can't be nice because they're dealing with trauma for the first time. Why do I keep laughing at that? Because I don't want to cry. But that's what making it right now is just three steps forward. And fuck a smile. You know, I do wear festive hat gear. I have a very awesome winter hat, actually, which will also be in the other episode. So what am I saying? Mary's dead. Long live Mary, I guess. It sucks. It's just one more light of a lot of lights that have been going out lately. And oh my God, I'm gonna sound all bush with a million points of light or whatever that whole concept was of we're gonna help each other, which yeah, sure. But that really is what it's supposed to be, is just being a fucking decent human being. And when you can go above and beyond, fucking do it. Because it's so weird here right now. Everybody just looks like they're on the verge of tears. It's very strange. Anyway, hey, welcome to the apocalypse. We're gonna miss you, Mary.